for listening. We can't believe we're still doing this. We can't believe how much money we spend on time. How much on hockey.
Hello and welcome to the Youth Hockey Podcast Season 3, Episode 35. We just spun our wheels really fast going downhill with that interview last week. Coach, thank you again for bringing in Jason Lee. Jason, is it right? Jason?
Yee.
Sorry. Yeah. Any question that I thought, I almost was scared to ask him a question because he'd have too much information and he might overload me. That kid or that young man is really steeped in hockey knowledge. And for you to bring him in and for him to come on the show, I just can't thank, if you're listening, Jason, I can't thank you enough. And coach, I can't thank you enough for getting him into the.
That was awesome. I glad you guys enjoyed it. And I think people listening to it will hopefully enjoy it. And you know, the thing, we didn't talk too much about it, but Jason kind of, you know, over the years that we got to know him, like he's changed, because it started out originally he would really go into a lot of detail, and I think it was much more aimed at I don't know, I guess people is aimed at kinesiologists or something, you know, because he has like terms for you know, like valgus alignment of your knee here, and I'm like, you know, most people are like, what? what are we talking about? And he's kind of, I think he's, I was going to ask him, but we didn't get to it, was, you know, what things he's learned, but it's like anything, he's evolved, and I think he's improved his focus and the stuff that he's teaching, and like a better way to teach it. But a lot of it comes out of the fact that he did study the body, and he kind of understands, you know, how the mechanics of a particular movement work and what they unlock for you. And I think for a player, you know, being exposed to some of these ideas, it's either going to work for you or it's not. But I will say, you know, seeing like some of the coaches that teach some of his stuff and the videos that they post, you see these, you know, you see kids like demonstrably get better in a short amount of time, and you go, okay, that's that same kid. Wow. You know,
well, I'm not trying to oversimplify it, but my uncle used to call it 20 pounds of potatoes in a 10-pound bag. and what I believe that meant, and I'm not certain that this is what it meant, but I believe that meant that there was overflowing with goodness. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
It's more than the bag can handle. So this week,
Randy grew up on a potato farm.
I did not, but thank you for mentioning the fact that I grew up on. I grew up anyway. So this week I wanted to talk about club hoppers. Now, I'm not talking about the Friday night roam around Hollywood where you're going to the coolest new disco,
right?
Coach, yeah, because that's what
I have
every Friday night.
No,
you do that too. Coach is much cooler than the rest of us. Every Friday night, he'll like text us and he'll be like, "I'm at Devonche's," and we're like, "Ooh, Devonche's, right. Where's that?"
Oh, sure.
And he'll be like, "I don't know. You guys couldn't get in." And then he'd show.
It's always another club that? Opening up. I mean,
yeah, the winky face emoji and the stuff like. But anyway, the club hoppers I wanted to talk about are the ones that are, let's say, overly anxious to move from where they are known to where they are unknown. And I say that specifically because I think that somewhere subconsciously, they know that the more people know about them, the less they want them to be at the club. So these club hoppers, and I'm not, by the way, not everyone that changes club is a club hopper. I'm not saying that, by the way. You know, there's a coach that you really love at another club. There's your kid really gets along with his friend Benny, and Benny's going to that club. There are 1,000 reasons to leave a club. In fact, if you're at the Bears, there are 10,000 reasons to leave a club, you know, just depending upon what club you're at.
Wasn't there a famous Paul Simon song about this? Like
50
ways to leave,
50
club?
Ways to leave like your hockey organization. I'll play that in the background later. But I want your guys' take. Obviously you can tell. I am a firm believer that the grass is not greener anywhere. This is youth hockey. unless there is someone that you just can't take that is running a program, or unless there's people that you truly feel don't have your children's best interests at heart. Both of those things are reasons to leave any club. I don't care. You know, if you don't think they're taking care of your kid, get out the door. But in general, if you just have a feeling that it might be better somewhere else, I feel that that feeling should be quashed. It is not usually better at the next place you go.
Grass is greener on the other side. Bird in the hand worth two in a bush. All these
right.
I mean, you got to leave for the right reasons, right, Randy?
What are the right reasons, Lance? You are the one who has probably played for more. And by the way, I would never accuse you of club hopping. You were more opportunity embracing, because everyone would come to you and say, please, would your kids play for us? And you'd be like, yeah, let me think about it.
Right. I mean, we weren't hopping just for the sake of trying to, you know, I guess, I don't know. I mean, because I guess indirectly we are trying to give them a better lot in life, but you know, like, we love the Bears, you know, like I said, I think we played.
No, Lance, I think you're thinking of another club. You loved the what? Can you say that one more time?
We love the Bears, but they were
playing AA. That can't be possible. I trust you. You're a very good friend, but what you are saying makes absolutely no sense. Raleigh, could you?
I mean, I think you're. Lance,
I'm cutting you off. I'm actually going to cut your mic. Dave, could you explain to him what I mean when I say an organization?
Well, I think you're talking about Jesus a guy. Christ.
I'm going to find a way to mute him. Okay, I'm done.
We gotta take away Randy's controls.
You should. Exactly. I'm the host. I am the host right now.
I think when you're talking about a guy who's got a situation, and he's leaving for the exact same situation, just with a different uniform. And you're right. That I don't know that makes sense. Whenever we left the program, we were taking a step up.
Well, also you were invited. The hopper, I believe, is someone who jumps somewhere else without of their own agency, right? They're not being asked to go. They are jumping. That I think is a recipe that does not work as well as what Lance went through, which is where people were asking him to please bring his children to the club. I think that is a much more success. You know, that means you're already in.
Interesting that you bring this up, because you guys live in the same area, and that's why you guys got to know each other. And, you know, for a lot of years, and I live in a slightly different area.
Would you say it's a slightly more affluent area, David?
No, not at all.
But you should see David's house. Honest to God, folks, the man lives like a king.
Average home.
No, an average home. Okay. Yeah. I want you to get out Zillow in another, open up Zillow, honest to God. And I want you to point it at your house and click on it. And you tell me the figure offline. What's the figure is?
Didn't Tom Cruise used to live in his place?
I think Tom Cruise used to live across the street from him. And Saudi Tom Cruise. It was a very different Tom Cruise.
Well, anyway, to get back to my point that I was trying to make is that where you guys are from,
I'm looking up your house.
There's a really nice ring complex there, and
beautiful
and
very nice.
Your area produced a tremendous amount of really good young hockey players at one point. And yet a lot of them moved on for greener pastures. And I remember
most of them.
Yeah. Well, I also remember
they greener?
We used to talk about,
okay, wait a second. Go ahead.
What if all these kids from your area,
give me the example of the greener pasture and don't say the Bears. Go ahead.
No, they, a lot of them went to the Junior Kings at one point.
And from there?
Well, I mean, they, you know, wherever they went.
But,
yeah, I'm just saying, if a lot of those players had just stayed, man, that the local team that you guys had, your local club, would have been a juggernaut. Like, when you look back upon it, right?
So, yeah, but my kids couldn't have made the team, so I'm glad they.
No,
left.
That's not true. At all.
But Dave, you know, it's funny that you
both very good hockey.
I know. I'm just kidding you.
Because when we were peewees, a certain dad approached a bunch of us and made that exact same comment. He said, you know, let's look at the Skaha peewee or Kaha Pee Wee scoring, the scoring list, the top scorers in the league. And in the top 10, I think there were five Valencia players in the top 10 in scoring. And he said, you know, isn't that a travesty that we've got the five of the top 10 players in the entire league and none of them play in Valencia?
And you had the facility, one of the nicer facilities around. Definitely a lot better than Burbank, where the Bears
were. Who plays at the Burbank? I don't even know a team. Do they have a team down there?
Well, I just said it. Where the Bears play.
Oh, yes.
And,
yes,
you know, that rink has been upgraded nicely, but there was a few years there where the ice was absolutely terrible. And when we were all playing there, at least, our sons, Randy, and then, you know, I look at the Valencia.
Remember when the puck kept on going out from that one area? Yeah. Like there's this one section that even during the game, like the puck would just squirt out.
Yeah,
from
it went out under the one boards. Game, like five times in one game, just went because the ice was really bad. And right where the Zamboni was, it would just.
And we had a really thin player. I was worried that we were going to lose him. You know what I mean? Yeah. There was one kid. I was like, if he ever goes in that corner, he could just shoot out of the entire
league. That kid very thin as it is. And he could get caught in there. That would be terrible.
That would be awful. Yeah.
By the way, Coach, I don't know if you know, but the Burbank rink is about a 2-minute drive from my office. And I wonder if Randy realizes, do you know there's like a huge picture of Randy in the lobby with like a bullseye on the face?
Yeah, I brought this up that they now have a thing up there. It's like one of those FBI most wanted lists. And it's like, if you see these people and there's 800 number.
If you can't take a little mild ribbing and you're a hockey parent, I just you're gonna get much worse than this in your hockey career from somebody. So just mild ribbing, that's all it is, by the way.
You know that
we still love the Bears.
Sad about it now,
we love all hockey teams.
But what's sad is that we're getting like we're just getting so old, or at least I'll speak for myself. I'm just getting so old, and it's like a lot of the coaches they're not even there anymore. There's a whole new generation of coaches and families and stuff. And that club's doing very well.
You're right. Maybe I am. I'm holding on to an old version of animus, and really I should be embracing a new world of potential and love.
Well, one of the things they do, like getting far afield of your topic, but they do a prep camp. Where basically they have a bunch of kids come out and they play, they play a bunch of games against each other to kind of showcase the talent that's there. And they get a bunch of schools from across the country. Most of them are back east. And they've been very successful getting players to be recruited to go to prep schools and stuff to play hockey. But one of the things I noticed, I follow them and they posted a video of this camp. And sort of walking in, and when we were there, they won some banners and stuff, and it was a nice little era for us. Well, they got rid of all that stuff, all the trophies and anything having to do with our kids is all gone. And now they have a thing, and every single thing they have is like a Kaha plate. Like that's all they have now. It's all the championships that they've been winning, state championships. So, they're doing fine there at the Bears.
The minute a Bear makes of the NHL, I will start eating. I will say, no, you're right. You guys did it the right way. You have you've done it all the right way, because I can name a Flyer that made the NHL.
That's true. There's a Maple Leaf.
There's a Maple Leaf. Yes, there is. There's a couple.
There's actually two Maple Leafs.
What?
Who's the Flyer?
I'm not. If you don't know, Lance, bite your. You don't know.
Isn't it? Wasn't it?
I'm not telling.
Isn't he retired now?
You talking about like Shane Harper?
No, wasn't it Kevin?
What, did Kevin Miller ever play for
Kevin
the
Miller.
Valencia team? I know he's from Valencia.
Yeah, no, he did.
Yeah.
Okay. I thought that he.
Well, that's up. The lore. I mean, what the hell?
Didn't he even play high school there? Yeah.
Yeah. No, the lore is that he played there. But actually, Lance, you might know more than the lore. I mean, that's just
I didn't
people,
even think
people around the rink Okay, people around the rink have talked about him as if he played there. That's all you can. With hockey parents, they might not even know how to tie their shoes. Who knows? Well,
we can say this. When he was still playing, I mean, I think he just retired maybe two seasons ago because of some nagging injuries, unfortunately. But like one of those like really great core players for the Bruins in those years that he was there. And we'd see him, you know, practicing. So no, I remember like that. One of those things.
Yeah, he would take over the whole ice. He'd buy the whole sheet for himself. Yeah.
And then this past summer, my son saw Jason Robertson working out at the Pasadena rink. And, you know, it's nice to know that the players.
Didn't Rocco Grimaldi come out of the.
Well, there's an awful lot of, you know, California kids. Now, of course, with Jason Robertson and his brother, then you look into their story and it's like, yes, well, I guess he's still from here because obviously he comes back here.
Right.
But then he left California pretty.
No, a lot of quickly. Them do. By the way, I'm not
Michigan, I believe. And
yeah, I'm not saying that that's the that's the pathway forward is through California hockey. it's probably not for most people, but, you know, there's some good stuff here. And you get to enjoy it while living in California, which is a pretty nice place.
Well, there's nothing wrong with staying at a club and showing some loyalty to it. And I'm not sure that you don't end up in the same place. Although I guess the question for a lot of people becomes, is there a point, you know, what is that point when you've outgrown the program? Like do you guys think that is there a point when you just say, absolutely, like somebody just presents you a scenario that, well, here's my scenario. We've been here for 4 years.
Yeah.
Now my kids,
I think that was the exact situation for me.
Yeah, you outgrew a lot of programs.
And what was that point?
And then there was the Super Kings team that was ranked like third in the nation, and they wanted the boys. And I felt like, okay, well, we've kind of outgrown the Bears because they've taken the boys as far as they can.
Can I take you back to that tryout, Lance?
Oh no, here comes.
Oh man, I love that tryout.
The pleading.
I just watched Chris Alexander crush everyone. It was like, he was new. He was out there, and he scored.
Didn't he knock their leading score from the year before right
out of his skates, and then scored three goals, and then sat down and went.
Right.
I was only there for
15. That's
I
like
was
the,
not there the whole
the
time.
Try you want to see your kid.
I was there for 15 minutes, and I looked at him and I said, "Well, he made the team."
Hey, speaking of that. I don't know if we've ever talked about tryouts, but along these lines, because you can't be a hopper if you don't go to tryouts. So, unless you've been recruited to leave. So,
that's true. I don't call that. Let me define my terminology here. Club hopping, to me, the hoppers are still the ones that jump. Not the ones who are roped in or pulled or that, you know what I'm saying? It seems to me that the hop, what I am talking about, and you can take it anywhere you want, I don't mind, but I'm saying the thing that I think is that gets a lot of bad press, and for the right reasons, is that if you are jumping from one club to another year after year, it's often a reflection of either you are out of touch with what your kids' abilities are and where, you know, like he will be considered valued. And so you have to move on immediately because he wasn't valued enough. And so you have to go. Or
well, can I tell you the hopper I know?
Yeah, please. Because that's what I'm looking for. Yeah.
Yeah. So the famous hopper that we all know, but it was, I think you touched on it, but you know, he played at Valencia and, for lack of a better word, wore out his welcome, the parents, not mm-hmm. the kid. And mm-hmm. so he went to another club not too far away and was able to last there like a year, wore out.
Was the that the Heat?
Again. Yeah, it went from, bottom line is, this family played, I think, for every team that's available in Southern California, and then simply ran out of teams.
Yeah, that is not, that's what I'm saying.
His welcome everywhere you went.
And the kid was the one who kind of suffered. Like I said, I don't think kids want to jump. That's another reason why I think this is important. I think the parents that are looking to jump from one place to the next, you know, is the kid best served by this? Because I think a kid does not like jumping around that much unless he is, you know, skyrocketing upwards. And skyrocketing upwards, I think that the whole rule set changes. But if you are just moving from tier two to tier two to tier two to tier two, I think you may be doing your son or daughter a disservice.
Well, that's a good a good rule of thumb. If you're sort of moving laterally a lot, maybe you got to look at why you're moving laterally so much, especially if you're making it worse for the overall family experience of you're farther away. It's a harder commute. And there's definitely something to that where I see people going to teams because it's, oh, well, we're all going over here. Sometimes it's like, you know, 3, 4, 5 people. And you go, well, why? What?
Yes, that's exactly the way I think of it. Yeah, go ahead.
I learned that the red flag is that when everyone gets an email saying that tryouts are like on May 5th and your email says it's May 12th, that's a red flag. And red flag number two is like when you get to the rink and they turn off all the lights and everyone stands still and then you leave and then they turn the lights back on and continue tryouts. That's usually a red flag too.
Hey, yeah. Speaking of the Bears, by the way, do you remember the year when they, I don't know if they did this for a couple of years, but remember when they had tryouts and they were like, they blacked out
all the windows
so that no parents could be there. No parents could see what was going on. And I was like, what are they going to see? The coach was there for 5 minutes and then left.
They have double secret sauce in the, you know, like, you know, double secret probation. I believe they have double secret awesome sauce at the Bears that they don't want anyone to see that they are pumping.
You know,
I was there.
I know exactly what their thought process were.
Well, please share.
I do too, but yeah, go ahead. Explain it.
I meant that what I was told, and I was kind of a little bit more on the inside at the time, was that I think that the coaching staff at all the levels were tired of the fact that as soon as tryouts were over, they were inundated by parents whose kids didn't make that team screaming and yelling. And, hey, my kid, you know, Ralston kid completely outskated Gifford and Gifford's on the team. And what do you look at? And they were like, you know what?
Why did you choose that as the example?
I know. They played together. It didn't happen.
Exactly.
That's
so
just mean.
What I was told is that they just don't want to deal with it anymore. And if the parents can't watch, then they can't judge like who was better than who.
And yeah, I think that was part of it. That's something I was going to say about this is that like if you let people in on just a simple fact. If you're watching a tryout and you see your kid make a few plays and you think to yourself, man, my kid made some great plays there, didn't they? 98% of the time, nobody noticed. The coaches might not have even been watching. And we've talked about how like the teams are frequently, you know, about 98% filled. I think coaches always kind of leave open this idea that, you know,
that went down to the Bears from Valencia in our year. He went down to the Bears. He was on your team briefly, but he's better than 90% of the starting Bears team. And he did not make the Bears one.
Yeah, I know who you're talking about.
Yeah, that was ridiculous. I mean, all of us were sitting there going, okay, well, they picked the team first, and then they had tryouts.
That was the other thing that happened.
They picked the team, then had tryouts.
Yeah, well, it was common knowledge. Everybody knew like that how that team was constructed and that there was a lot of commitments that had been made to various people, and the team was an amalgamate of stuff, and it really didn't matter, you know.
Still, it made you feel like hockey was – not being, you know, that the sport was being, it doesn't matter. By the way,
kids
don't
get overlooked.
You
know what, Randy?
Yes,
we talked about this.
I know we did.
We talked about the sport because remember what I told you? I don't know. I can't remember a tryout that I ever took my kids to where there was a question whether they'd make the team or not.
Yeah, if you can just go kiss my butt is what you can go do. There's no way that you should be allowed to say that on a hockey podcast and not have somebody come to your house.
See, Randy's saying that, but your sons knew, you knew that your sons were making the teams they were going
but
to.
But you know what though, if they
wait a second, wait
99% of the time
off 99, because off air, I will tell you something, and I think you even know what I would tell you. But
there might have been 1 year.
Yes. In fact, there was. And that still is very hard for me to accept.
But see,
that's not true.
Because you knew all those other years.
Like, that's true.
In fact, your sons didn't even have to show up half the time if they really didn't want to. They were still going to be on those teams.
I'm giving Lance a little jazz because he's taken the topic of club jumping and turned it into, the Bears.
All about me.
Tryouts. That's right. And I don't need that, Lance. I don't need that, do I? Well, is there anything that you would say to the club jumpers that you would say in your experience would tell them that it's a, you know, that it's a, well, either good or bad idea, whatever you want to take this. Is there anything you would tell them?
We've left clubs for reasons, and a lot of those reasons had to do with my own personal feelings about things. And
oh, he burnt some bridges, ladies and gentlemen. He's burnt them to the ground.
Well, I don't know about that. I had my reasons.
Always the nicest person. Every rink you've walked into, you were the nicest person at that rink, and you know it. So when I tease you, you know that that's not what I really think.
I want to say, looking back on it, there's a move that I made where I took my kid out of one place where really nothing bad was happening, but I kind of felt like, hey, we're a little bit stagnant here. And I'm not sure. And I looked at some other things that were going on there, and I let these other things influence my feelings about this. And I was like, you know what? We're picking up our marbles and we're going to go to this other place, 'cause I hear it's going to be really great there. And we're going to be first ones in on the floor there. And I'm mad about, you know, I feel these couple things that are going on here just rub me the wrong way, and I feel it's unfair. And I look back upon that now and I go, I don't know. probably should have stayed there.
All I'm saying. That's exactly how I feel about so many times. I got to tell you though, Raleigh, I would have missed your company though. Had you not made that trip.
But here's the thing, we did it together though.
I know. I still feel pretty glad.
We conspired together.
I'm glad you made that mistake. I know. I'm glad you made that mistake just because it personally benefited me. I got a very good friend out of it.
Yeah, well, it's nothing bad. You know, it's a journey. But yeah. I think we're doing people a favor to say, really, really think about it. Think hard. Don't just go someplace because you've heard the grass is greener. It's not always.
And you know what, by the way, Randy, do you remember? Because I know you remember back in the days. You know, one of the things, the Valencia program that Randy and I experienced with our sons, because his daughter gets to experience the bigger, better Valencia, it was much different than it is today. I mean, today, you know, the program's run by a professional coach who's a great coach and knows what he's doing. And back in our day, Randy, you remember, I mean, how many teams did we play for? It was the one of the kids' dads was coaching the team, and he was coaching the team. His experience was, I think he played like 3 years of beer league, didn't he? You know?
I didn't even notice at the time because I wasn't that into the sport, but you're absolutely right. I didn't know what professional training looked like. One of the things we talked about last week was how seeing professional training really helps you out so much. I hadn't seen it. So, as we want to bag on that era because it was pretty bad, I didn't know the difference. And so in many ways, I was just kind of blissful. I was like,
one of the things that I kind of, I was a little bit envious of you guys was that your sons initially trained with a coach up there who trained a lot of these kids that we were referencing earlier. And he clearly was doing something right. And I remember thinking, like, I want to get my son working with a coach who's going to be that kind of like presence, like look at, and so you, it's just natural. You start looking at it and going, all these kids from this area are really good. There's got to be something to it. And then you find out, whoa, oh, they all work with this these couple of coaches. Well, maybe we can work with that coach. And like I started to, you know, try and meet people and make contacts and find out like, well, okay, you worked out with this guy who you know, could my kid work out with him? You know, you start that whole game. But that kind of goes to the, you know, what we just talked about in the last episode with Jason is like skills. Skills is now something that right. you gotta find. It's not just enough to get your kid on a team a lot of times. I mean, if you're fortunate enough to have a coach who represents both things, but I also got to say, like, having coached myself, honestly, like, there's just no way that any coach can coach a team and put in a lot of skills too. It can't be done. There's not enough. Your kid's on the ice maybe for an hour, twice, three times a week. For a team practice, the coach is going to focus on team practices. There's going to be some skill stuff in there, but if your kid has areas that you'd like to see them hopefully get some extra help with and get a little bit better, it's just not going to happen, you know? And this is one of those things with the Daryl Belfry thing that Jason was talking about, Daryl Belfry. And he has a book, and I read the book, and he was talking about this particular thing of like, well, you know, if you don't, I'm not articulating this well at all, but you know, just trying to like find somebody that can help your kid work on specific things. It's just happenstance whether you can find a coach that
right. And you know, like back in our day, one of the biggest issues I always had was, you know, they'd have these big clinics, you know, and there'd be 20 kids out there, and I it was just kind of, you know, in hindsight, it was just kind of a waste because your kid, every kid's doing something different.
Can I tell you something about this, Lance? Yeah. We never paid for those. They never really had a good system of like checking who would pay for them and who hadn't. And I know what you're talking about. Tuesdays and Thursdays at the rink. I think during that time, I don't think we paid for like more than one every 17 sessions or something like that, because
you,
they were
need
so
to keep
bad
these secrets
at record
keeping for your ebook. Like,
well, no, I'm just like,
how to maximize your investment in youth hockey.
No, I know.
This was chapter two, I believe.
Well, of course, I was sitting up in the you know, stands with fries, and I was like having a great time, and my kids are skating. I did want to bring up the companion piece to the Club Hoppers. Yes. and this, if you don't mind, and then I'll get off it. What goes along with that is don't be a dick at tryouts. I don't know if you think this is a bad move, guys. I haven't discussed it with you, but
is Randy directing it at me?
No, not at all. I'm directing it at people who are jumping clubs, but then they just show up at the old club or something like that to see who's there, or, you know, because you talk to them afterwards and they're like, no, we were never going to sign with. I'm like, right. Guys, come on. If you want to know what will make people talk behind your back for another 2 years about what a dick you are, go and try out at another place.
Right.
Sign.
And go back and say, and hey, you know, I just want to see our old friends.
Exactly. I just want to see you guys.
Here anymore, buddy.
I just want to put her on the ice with you guys. Are you going to have enough people or not? Oh, there's only seven. Oh, my gosh. I thought you'd have more than seven. Well, right, I'll put him like, out
well,
there.
Well, your son's here, so that's really good. Oh, no, we signed.
No, we signed yesterday. No, we're not going to be eight for you. We're going to be seven. You're going to be seven. Oh, my God.
I thought you were talking about the parent who just comes, like, by themselves. It's like, where's Billy?
No.
Oh, no, we were just down at the camp.
I've had that, too.
Down there.
Yes, exactly.
Oh, no, man, let me tell you, you wouldn't believe the check I had to write. Like, it's unbelievable. You have to pay, you know, like $1,500 for the uniforms. It's crazy. And you're like, oh, okay, well, last week you told me you were going to be here for the tryout.
Right, exactly.
I guess that was a lie.
Yeah, I guess you meant you'll be here only if you don't get any other offers.
I was going to ask you, Randy, who's worse, the club hopper or the guy who says you'll be there, but he never had any intention of showing?
Well, that's what I'm saying. Don't be a jerk at tryouts. I mean, I said nastier word, of course,
it's
but
so
I don't.
It's so easy just to say, hey, I'm not sure where we're going to be.
Yes. Yeah. Just be elusive.
I'm not sure.
Right.
Two words.
Find a way around being that guy. Because I've seen that guy, you think you're new. You're like, oh, I'm so crafty. I'm going to go try out somewhere else. And if I get it on, I'll go and I'll come back and I'll talk to them. No, it happens every year. You're not crafty. You're just a dick.
Well, here's the thing.
Yeah, but you know, Randy, on the flip side of it, though, guy, I mean, do you agree, coach, or not? But there's also that stigmatism. You've played for a club, you got all the friends, and deep down, you want to switch. You got an opportunity. You're going to switch. It's like a no-win situation because if you tell them, well, yeah, I'll be there, and you don't show, you know, as Randy said, you're a dick. But also, if you say, hey,
it sounds
you know
so wrong when you say it, Lance. I mean, you sound like too nice of a guy to call someone that.
Isn't it just as bad? Like, I've seen situations where they say, well, so what are you going to do? Well, I think I'm going to sign with this club. Oh, you're too good for us now.
That's why you just are elusive. You simply say, I don't know. I have to weigh my options and talk to my wife or my son or my son's girlfriend who happens to live right by the rink that I want to go to. I don't care what you do. Just don't be the guy, you know. Anyway, I wanted to put that on as a companion piece because rink hoppers also have a tendency to fall into the category of tryout jerks.
Well,
so
there's
don't
also
do
a,
that.
There's also, here's what I wanted to say about it. There's a bunch of people, and I just don't think they're self-actualized enough. But let me tell you, a lot of people see through you. And here's what they see. When you're that type of person who lied to all your former families, your teammates,
friends,
and just to be honest, like they, you know, okay, how good friends were you really when you're lying to people about your kid, and then your kid goes down and makes a team, and then like this thing kind of comes up where it's like we made a team, and let me tell you what other people are thinking. They're thinking this is exactly what they're thinking. Oh, I see why you kept that a secret. Because the fact of the matter is my kid's better than your kid. And if my kid had gone down there, maybe you would be back here trying to get on this team. That's what they're thinking.
Ouch.
So if you think that you're slick and you did this and you, went down there, the people that you thought were your friends are now thinking, yeah, you know what? We could have been down there at that tryout too. But you know, we all talked about it and said, yeah, it'd be nice to keep the kids together. Seems like we got a good thing going here. And we all played and you went down, but issued the subterfuge and went down there and did it on the side. And nobody thinks that your kid is the best player unless
Raleigh, you just went to a dark place. I was by the way, I love this topic. Now that I have Dave Ralston on tape going that dark, this is the best topic of the week. I mean, it is. In fact, I'm going to say
you
this is the best topic of the week.
But you don't see that? Like, let me just say too.
I'm like, going to say I don't. Just
your son,
see,
your son,
just see your reaction.
Your son that played with my son, like he was one of the in that era, like one of the best players in the area. I've said this to you many times. Like excellent hockey player, still is an excellent hockey player, just doesn't seem to have
great kid
same desire to a kid that made many teams, just has one of those kids that puts pucks in the net too from every location. So he could have played, and I even said to you a bunch of times, like, are you thinking about going down there? You know, your kid is a triple A caliber player, no doubt, when we were all playing double A and A, you know. So so I would have thought this is very pertinent that, you know, some players that we played with, like, yeah, there's definitely a year where like we all played together. Both of our sons were a couple of the highest scorers on the team. And then the season was barely over and a couple of the kids that didn't have as many points were already gone and had already signed on
Triple A.
It didn't even occur to us. We weren't looking for that at the time. It wasn't like what we thought should happen with our kids. At no point was I like, oh, wow, that kid is just such a dynamic player.
That kid that's seventh on the roster in points really needs to get himself down to the Kings. That's what I thought that several times, Raleigh. I just didn't want to say it out loud in case I jinxed it.
Yeah. So, you know, we kind of like just let's you know, take this one step at a time, see where it goes. And
but, you know, I don't want to stand in the way of other people's upward mobility either. I, you know, there are some kids that I don't always see, you know, what they do best. And I don't know. I don't feel bad when someone goes. And I think you had the point, Coach, which is if it's sidewards, if it's sideways. If it's tier two, think about it. If you're going upwards, if you believe it's upward mobility for your kid and you're going tier two, tier one, I try to put on my big boy pants and go, well, that's what they want. Good for them.
Yeah. If it's right for you, it's right for you.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, I just wanted to, I
like
that.
The parents.
I don't think it's all sour grapes, but yeah.
I like the parents though, that tell you that, oh, you're going to transfer over there. Oh, good for you. Oh, I would never play for that organization. Good for you. Good.
Yeah. I think I said that to you right after your kids were in Pee-wee's, but you didn't listen to me, did you?
Of course not.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. Well, you get the you're not going to play for that guy. Did you not hear about that guy last year? Oh my God, that guy's a nightmare. And Meanwhile, you know, three other people told you that's the greatest coach I ever had. So
he's the greatest nightmare coach I've ever had. There we go.
Exactly.
That is youth hockey in a spoonful. So thank you all for listening to episode 35. We really do appreciate it. We appreciate all of our listeners. And like I said, if you can get on, rate the show, say something nice about the coach, and he gets a golden star. And for the rest of the week, he gets to brag to his teenage daughter. Is that correct? Or is she?
No, I think she hit the
Is super 2-0. Cool. Yeah, his super cool early 20s daughter about how he can, you know, keep up with the kids nowadays. And I think he likes that. So anyway, any last comments, gentlemen?
No.
Nope.
Well, thank you all for listening, and we look forward to coming back and entertaining at least a few of you for episode 36. We'll see you then.
Remember to visit Gabe Gifford Hockey. The link is in the description and the webpage below.